the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Here's what's coming up. Bottom of the hour, Jim Roop is going to be here from Los Angeles. We'll talk about George Bush sending troops down to guard something or other from somebody. I didn't think we had any troops. I thought we'd used all the troops. I thought they were all gone. Isn't that the thing?
No, we have plenty of them around.
Do we? I mean, I guess we'll talk to Jim about it. I thought that was why everybody who went over to Iraq for like, wasn't everybody, the deal was that you were going to Iraq, but you have to come back in like 6 months, and now you've been over there for like 3 years, and that's just sort of the way it goes. And is anybody even in Afghanistan anymore?
Yeah, regarding like this two-block area that's a democracy.
The rest of the country is a lawless jungle. There's like one square block of democracy.
There's like a gated area.
It's fantastic. But I thought that's why everybody had to... never mind. I'm going to get bogged down. But I thought that's why everybody had to stay in the Middle East because there wasn't anybody left. And how many are we sending to the border here? Like 6,000 or something?
6,000.
Maybe it's like a wag the dog kind of a thing, and he's not really doing it. He's just claiming that he's going to do it.
Maybe if they all join hands, it can stretch over the entire area.
Hands across the border. Mm-hmm. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Later on, Dennis Pitzenberger will be here from the Portland Tribune. We'll do the top five Rolling Stones guitar introductions. What else? I got all this stuff about the television coming up. The television lineup. Oh, and by the way, there's another internal CBS memoranda. This is from our good friends in the marketing promotion department. Steely Dan and Michael McDonald pre-sale. Please get your pre-sale orders and credit card information in by Thursday. Tickets will be held at will call. Steely Dan, see, because it's CBS, because one of the many benefits here of working for CBS, the CBS Corporation, the Columbia Broadcast.
Get to hear them sing Peg in Purpose.
Steely Dan and Michael McDonald. Thursday, July 20th, even reading it makes me tired. Steely Dan and Michael McDonald. I can't do the Michael McDonald thing as well as Clyde can. Thursday, July 27th, the amphitheater at Clark County. Really, it literally does. It puts me to sleep reading it. Public sale, blah, 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 blah. What would you imagine pre-sale tickets for Steely Dan and Michael McDonald go for? Sarah? Remember what they were for the Red Hot Chili Peppers? They were
$100?
$135.
Whoa. That's insane.
Says the newsman.
But what, for the good seats or just for regular tickets?
God, are there good seats? Good seats for Steely Dan are the ones that are here in Portland at my house with the doors shut and my ears put out so I can't hear anything. Those are the good seats.
Maybe they'll do a duet.
We can only be so lucky. We'd be even luckier if a meteorite would smash into that whole place right as they were about to take the stage. That'd be good times. Let's see. Where's this Trojan email? All right, the email about that. We are counting down. We ought to talk to somebody at Coin and see if somebody at Coin can either, because Coin is going to be filming the Trojan nuclear facility as they implode it. They're going to be carrying it on the news. They said that they were going to be broadcasting it. So my question is, where is Coin going to be at? Is there somebody at Coin we could call? Hey, somebody at Coin, if you're listening, call us.
Is there a voicemail message that we can leave that'll never be returned?
Is there? Is there anybody left working there? Are there any actual live humans working at Coin that we could ask about this?
I think Jeff Granola still works there.
So the Coin is, because the thing is, they blocked off the river, they blocked off the road, they blocked off the mountain, they're clearing out the park. It really is like Chicago 68. The cops are just going through and just sweeping with truncheons. So there's going to be nowhere to view this implosion from. But Coin is going to be broadcasting it or airing footage of it anyway. So I'm wondering, either A, if they can tell us where they're going to be filming from, or B,
can we ride in the truck?
If we just stand in the back with the Dalmatian, if we can talk to somebody from there after it happens. I'm very curious about this. We also got this, Rick. I would never suggest that Sarah Dillon had partaken in sins of the flesh while still under the legal age of consent in this great union, but Sarah's voice does betray a slight sound of fondness and longing when she heard of the imminent demise of her favorite nuclear landmark. Pleased to be asking Miss Dillon if there's something a little more special about that place than simple childhood memories. It's signed, Young Love Under the Shadow of Radiation.
Who's that from?
I don't know. not important. Why?
A secret admirer.
No. Hey, because your face indicates... No, you're blushing.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I don't think so.
You're looking a little awkward. Looking a little uncomfortable.
No.
Is it true?
Who's that from?
It doesn't matter. Is it true?
Show it to me.
No, I'll show it to you when you tell me if it's true or not. Is it true?
It was a long time ago.
Oh, that's the best kind of story in the world. The best kind of story in the world is the one that starts with, it was a long time ago. Here's the best three openings for a story. You are blushing. You are completely
blushing. I know, my face is totally red.
Okay, best three openings for a story ever. It was a long time ago. I thought that she was older. Or, I was young and I needed the money. There's also he told me that he'd be the only one to ever see them. That's a good opening for a story, too. Okay, you have opening number one. Sarah Dillon.
Macaque.
And so it was a long time ago. How long ago? You're only 25. How long ago could it have been?
A few years back.
Yeah. All right. So let me ask you this.
So
the Trojan nuclear facility. So this is in Kalama, right?
Yeah.
And so that's about 20 miles away from St. Helens. That's about where that is, if anybody didn't know. So the email said again.
Let me just see.
Nah, just hold on. Let me read it one more time. Dad, just stay over there. You stay on the... What? I can't read your mouth.
Okay, never mind.
Please to ask Ms. Dillon if there is something a little more special about that place than simple childhood memories. And Sarah's asking me if it's from a particular person right now, this email. I don't know. Maybe not. I'll reveal who it's from. I won't keep in the dark. I will reveal this. But so my question is, so is that true? I'm gonna skip the obligatory Trojan joke.
No, I went there and like played Frisbee.
Uh-huh. Is playing Frisbee code? Is playing Frisbee code for something?
Macaque.
You are completely red.
I am
completely blushing.
No, I'm not. It's hot in here.
Uh-huh. So, how long ago was...
I don't want to talk about it. That was a Freudian slip.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Do I have to tell you I love you now?
Sure.
All right.
Okay, you're very all awkward. Flustered. Okay, let's...
All right, no. Okay, well, look, let's
is
just...
Is it from who I think it is?
No. It is from someone else.
But somebody who knows the
you
person
had, can I
is?
Tell you who you thought it was from? So you were asking me if it was from Justin, your ex-boyfriend.
Okay, thanks for letting me answer.
I'm sorry. It's not from Justin, though. But why would it be from Justin? Why would...
There'd be no reason.
Did you...
Rick,
let me ask you this. Did you engage in an intimate act of affection in the shadow of the Trojan nuclear plant?
No, we played Frisbee. They have a nice park there.
If you just played Frisbee, though, why would you be so reticent to talk about it? Why would you be shifting uncomfortably in your seat?
I am not shifting.
There aren't too many places left to play Frisbee.
It's true. Playing Frisbee in public isn't as easy as it used to be.
Don't you dare touch that button.
Which button? There's many
you
buttons.
Know which button. Macaque.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, it's Kristen.
Hi, Kristen. How are you?
Peachy keen.
Are you calling about the Sarah's Frisbee?
Actually, no. I had kind of limited information about the Trojan situation.
Ah, okay. So,
although Sarah's little issue here is far more interesting.
When you say it was a few years back, how many years back was this?
Just a few years.
Uh huh.
I don't know. A while ago.
Were you over the age of majority or
yes.
not?
Oh, yeah, it was when I lived in Portland.
You were an adult. Okay.
It was actually, the day I went, ironically, was the day of our first listener party.
Our first listener party, when?
See, that's why it has special meaning.
When, yeah. Which first listener party? The very first one in La Center?
Yeah, the very first one where we all dressed up in, it was like the Halloween one?
No, that wasn't our first one.
That was the second or the third one.
No.
Halloween Hangover.
No, not
Halloween Hangover, but it was the one where I went as the Clockwork Orange guy.
No, the first one where we had, like, the machine with all the dollar bills. And
oh, that was the first one. That was the very first one.
And Hog Whitman sang.
Yeah, and we played Inagata DeVita.
Yeah.
Woot.
Those were the days.
So this is, okay, but, so it was that, so that would have been 2002? Two, yeah.
Yeah.
It would have been 2002. So.
So that was a few years ago.
Okay.
4 years ago. Yeah.
So was it just like a... Just like a makeup
when she
session.
Was young,
I played Frisbee.
Kristen?
Yeah.
What's your read on this situation?
My read is that she really doesn't want to talk about it.
Thank you.
Okay, but I mean, but I'm not projecting here. Clearly, there's some deeper story.
Yeah, but you know, being a woman, I know that it's probably not what you're thinking.
Uh-huh.
It might be special, but maybe it's just none of your damn business.
Oh, now see, when did you get all prudy on me?
I'm not prudy, but there are just, you know, even I, there are things I will not discuss.
Right.
You know.
Well, so you're saying that it might not be a sexual story in nature.
Exactly.
It might be a personal thing
that's just between her and someone, or
it might be intimate in a romantic sense, but not in a physical sense, perhaps.
Or yeah,
it might deal with emotion. I wouldn't care. In which case, it would be nothing I cared about.
Exactly. So you're building this
to deal
up
with
some huge thing, and it's probably nothing that would matter one whit to you.
All right. I don't think that's the case. But okay, what do you got? I'll tell you in a moment. What do you got?
Well, I was just going to tell you for the media extravaganza happening this weekend with the Trojan plant there.
Yeah.
There's a platform that is going to be media only. So all of the news outlets here in the Portland area will be, I think, carrying it live.
Now, where is the platform going? Do you know where the platform's going to be in relation to the plant itself?
It's within the mile perimeter.
Well, that's a bunch of crap. Why does the media get to be there and the like people can't be there?
I don't know, because I know this because a friend of mine who's a filmmaker wanted to get in and film it. She
right.
asked me, you know, what's the deal? And apparently they are keeping security rather tight. You have to have a press pass to get in there.
Can I tell you a question? I don't need all my life in the media. I don't even know what a press pass is.
Oh, we have.
Me
I have
either.
Plenty.
Like, how do we get them?
Like for me, I think of those old the Max Fleischer Supermans where it's like
stuck in the brim of your hat.
Totally. Like the Cub reporter out to make the big scoop.
Bolt.
Yeah, and there's a kid on the corner saying X3, read all about it. Like I don't know what a press pass is.
No, they do. They have like identification that has your name on it and it tells what media.
Where does one even get a press pass?
I'm not sure.
They do not have them here.
I can find out for you, though.
But I mean, is it like a company? Is it like a place you call to get an actual press
Oregon
pass?
Oregon does not officially have press passes.
Oh.
I know that this is like the most inside conversation
ever. Carry like ID that says, you know,
right.
News media.
All right. I know this, again, I can already hear Bruce Aguilar. They're saying this is the most inside conversation ever. But seriously, that is fascinating to me. You always hear about, you know, a guy with a press pass, but I wouldn't even know where. You get it to the same place the guy gives teenagers fake IDs, or I got nothing.
Yeah, they don't have them here.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to see if I can find out, because it seems unfair that we're not able to go see the thing
imploding. There is a spot I was told that the Kalama boat ramp,
right.
I guess, is free pass for everybody.
All right.
Because but it's kind of a limited space.
It'll sink if everyone shows up early.
Yeah, seriously.
And that's outside of the 1 mile safety zone, so that might be your better option anyway.
Well, because it seems like we ought to go, especially now because it has all this Frisbee significance to Sarah Dillon.
We have to go and share in Sarah's, you know, private moment.
We could all go play Frisbee together.
Yes, we could all. Let's all play Frisbee. Because I missed, we were talking about this during the break about how there are all these unofficial sort of landmarks that you don't, does Oregon have, like, what are official landmarks here? I mean, it's like Mount St. Helens or something, or that's in Washington, I guess, but.
That was Multnomah Falls.
Mountain
Casino.
But like, I was gonna say, those are never the ones that people talk about. Like, the stuff that people get misty-eyed over is never Multnomah Falls. It's always, I don't know. You're from here.
Park bench right outside on the something. I don't know.
I'm sorry. Now, were you playing Frisbee somewhere now?
Well, that's none of your business either.
Ah, see. No, but I'm saying
that's for another show.
The things that people get to always get misty. I don't. You know what? A perfect example is the Waddles sign. The Waddles sign.
Everyone was devastated when they took
I was so pissed, and I was out of town. I wasn't there because they were going to do a big. And correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't the company that took over, didn't they swear they were going to leave it there?
I thought that's what I heard.
They said they were going to, because it's like the Waddles sign said, eat now, and then there was a big clock, and it said, Waddles. And if anything that is left on one place long enough becomes a landmark. It's like that guy says in Indiana Jones, you know, where he says, this watch is whatever is worth, bury it in the desert for 1,000 years and men will kill each other for it. And that's what it is, like anything. Anything sits there long enough, it becomes a landmark. And that Waddles sign, They swore to God that they were going to leave
they
it there.
They weren't going to touch it, that they were going to eat it.
Yeah, and then it's like I go to Kennewick and I come back and it's a big Hooters sign. And so I wasn't even around to see it get taken. That is probably other way. I don't know.
Maybe if the Hooters sign is there long enough, that will also have cultural significance.
Yeah, I suppose, but I'll be dead by then. So there's probably others that I'm not thinking of. But people don't really give the proper appreciation or respect to things that are sort of unofficial landmarks like this Trojan thing. So the whole thing kind of bugs me. All right, well.
We're going to go play Frisbee.
All right, thank you, Kristen. All right. There you go. It's 503-733-2970.
No, I really like it, too, because it was the first... It showed me when I was driving down to Portland for the first time. It was, so big and distracting. I actually pulled over to the side of the road and took a bunch of pictures of it, because it was one of the... It was just huge.
Macaque.
We've got this. Rick, Sarah's Frisbee. Is this anything like the time that she wouldn't deny that she and her sorority sisters spanked each other with paddles? You can't let her off the hook this easily.
What a deny, whatever.
I'm pretty sure that I remember asking you about spanking your sorority, and your response was, I don't want to talk about it.
There wasn't any spanking.
Oh, okay, I'm just saying, at the time I asked you. Rick, maybe she did play Frisbee. In the nude. And then it signed, Sarah, Bouncy Cakes. It's the best show ever.
I wonder what people did during this time period while we were gone. were people thinking about? What did they do to occupy their time?
I have no idea. We'll take these calls.
It's good they were back, anyway.
These calls here in a second. Do you want to know who this is from?
Sure.
Okay, you guessed Justin, your ex-boyfriend. That is not the case. You go one more guess.
I have
called me.
Aaron.
It was Aaron Geek in the City. It was a blind guess. It was a blind... When he asked because he said he heard in your voice when you talked about the Trojan nuclear facility, he said he heard a subtle longing in your voice.
No, it's just really neat. I think it's a really neat looking thing.
See, the thing is, you're normally very open and just very confident in the air.
Anything to talk
As we're
about.
Talking about this, you're sort of crossing your arms.
I am not. No, there's
your body
anything.
Language would indicate that you're hiding something from us.
There's nothing to talk about.
Okay, Rick Everson shows this.
Hi, this is Dante.
Hi, Dante. What's up, brother?
Okay, first off the bat, Paris Hilton looks like a pork roast in a gunny sack, no matter how you look at it.
That's fantastic. I'm stealing that phrase.
Number two, I'm wondering if you guys are still being sponsored by a particular digital print and supply company. Is that still going on?
Who?
A digital print and supply company.
I believe the commercials may still be running on the station because the
very cool. I was just out there and bought a couple of pens, told the guys, hey, thank you for supporting the show. I was also up on the hill where OHSU is.
Right.
I saw this blue minivan.
Right.
With Rick Emerson. He's back. 9:70 a.m., noon to 3.
Oh, yeah, I've actually heard about that. And
is that Lara's car?
No, it's not, actually. I should be very clear about that, that is not. But I did find out who that was. We've heard about this from several people, that they were up there and they saw a car or a van or whatever that in the back window said something about Rick Emerson Show 970, he's back or whatever. And we then heard from the person who it belonged to, and I won't identify who it is. They probably don't want to be identified. But, yeah, we have heard about that van from several people. So it is somebody who does work up there.
I left a little Post-it note on the window with thanks for spreading the word.
Excellent.
And I'm going to eat your soul.
Ah, thank you. Thank you. Okay, there you go. Thank you, sir. Strangers.
We need to learn how to lip read. I have no idea what you're saying.
No, I was telling you who it was.
Okay.
No, it's not Laura, but it's somebody you know. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's who it was.
That's what I thought. God, we're worthless.
It really is true. Rick, about landmark. Oh yeah, this is a perfect example. It's like that Oregon sign with the Red Bull.
That U of O just bought, and they're gonna.
No, what?
Yeah, I heard the University of Oregon bought that building, and the sign is property of that building.
The Made in Oregon thing that you see when you come over
downtown on the Burnside Bridge.
Yeah, and.
And I think. I don't know.
They're not getting rid of it, are they?
They're not getting rid of it, but the rumor mill, I've heard that they're going to do something with the University of Oregon.
No. Now, see, that. But see, that's what people hate.
Know.
People hate that kind of stuff.
I know.
It's got to be stopped.
No, it's like, here's another one. Here's another one is the 7-Up sign that was for the longest time. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
That was on the band field, that big 7-Up sign?
Yeah.
And then when did that go away? It's something else
is
now.
Is it not there?
It's, no, it's not. It's been replaced by something else, and I don't want to impugn whoever it is, and I honestly don't remember. It's some other company. And I don't want to impugn the company. All I'm saying is you got to put your stuff as an adjunct to that. You can't, because if you just get rid of stuff, then it just traumatizes
people.
Well,
if you want to see good neon signs, you have to go up Interstate with all those old motel signs.
Yeah, mm-hmm. See, those are classic. And if you're going through the Gorge, too, you're going through the Gorge, is that one that looks like the Bates Motel, like right as you're going by the Charburger, right at like Cascade Locks? Listen to how local and relatable we are. Listen.
What about that?
As we are driving through Cascade Locks in the Gorge here in Oregon, which is a scenic view for many Northwest residents.
What about that submarine in front of OMSI from the Hunt for Red October?
That's not the one from the Hunt for Red October.
That's what I heard.
It's not true.
I thought it was.
What do you mean, from the inside?
I don't know.
Is that one of those Russian submarines that they were selling really cheap?
like a box top of $15?
After they took all the copper wire out and they couldn't use them anymore.
But that's what do you mean? It wasn't the Hunt for Red October.
You know, maybe someone was lying to me because someone told me that once.
I think someone was
stuck in my head.
Someone was giving you a fib.
I don't think
that's true. I'm not sure, but I mean, it seems like we'd know about that because wouldn't that be big news? Because that would be a successful film that had some Oregon connection. Because
OMSI's crazy about us. They would definitely tell us.
Yeah, and they love us so much at OMSI. They'd be on the phone right now telling us.
We donated our voices and measles.
All right. 503-733-297. It's so behind. 503-733-2970. All of these phone calls. I don't know. All these people are calling. Aaron, by the way, has a little side note where he says, subject line is tossing the frisbee. It may have been a blind guess. However, Big Daddy Aaron knows the subtle signs that Sarah gives off, such as the connection we have, a connection that surpasses all tossing and tapping of the frisbee.
Oh, my God.
Baby. It's Aaron Geek in the City. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back. We got Jim Roop, phone call, many phone calls coming in. The Inquirer will do the gossip recap. Top five Rolling Stones guitar intros. Dennis Pitzenbarger coming up from the Portland Tribune. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on AM 970 Solid States Radio. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland and so forth and whatnot. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. We'll do this National Enquirer recap here in a few. Top five Rolling Stones guitar introductions of all time. Dennis Pitzenbarger is going to be here from the Portland Tribune. We get all these phone calls. It's the weirdest things that really just, and it's just set the audience off. Just talking about, as soon as I mentioned the word, like, 7-Up sign, and then, like, OMSI sub, bam! Like, guys are, like, rappelling in the windows at the comment. So we'll do some phone calls here in a minute. It's 503-733-2970. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the City of Angels. I'm now deaf. Jim Roop, CNN radio correspondent from Los Angeles. How are you, sir?
I'm well. Good afternoon.
How is life in California?
It's beautiful. It's job security. It's where I live. It's what I love.
See, you know, here's the thing. If you lived like in Akron or something, if you're just living in Wichita Falls or something, you probably would have been laid off long ago because there wouldn't be all of the social unease and discord and entropy in Los Angeles, my friend. That you spin that into gold in your life.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
It really is. You and I profiting off the misery and suffering of others. It's a good time to be an American.
Yes, it is. Legal one.
Look at you with the masterful segue. That is, I bow before you, sir. So, I don't even know how to attack this. So, did anybody here watch Bush last night?
Watch it afterwards.
I watched like a little bit of the recap. I watched a little bit.
Well, you know what he was going to say.
I mean, yeah, because it was all, especially because CNN leaked a bunch of it. Wasn't that, see where CNN television aired a bunch of the rehearsal footage?
Yep.
Which is fantastic. And so,
hey, if it's going to be out there, we're going to use it.
That's what I'm saying. So Bush is talking about sending, was it 3,000, 6,000?
6,000.
6,000 troops to the border, and that is in several states, right?
Right.
And which states are going to be affected by
this? Well, the border states, California, Arizona, Texas.
All right.
Those guys.
And so he claims that he is not going to be, quote, militarizing the border, but he is sending the military there.
Well, he's not giving the military authority. It doesn't make any sense. And this is what the governor Schwarzenegger was saying today. He said, look, if you're going to use them, use them.
Right.
You know, let's. He says he wants to hear the president say we're going to secure the border no matter what it takes. And that means let the military be military. Don't
right.
send them down there as babysitters or to hold the guns for the Border Patrol while they put handcuffs on somebody. I mean, let's use them while they're down there.
And so it really, I mean, it really just is like the epitome of cosmetic government intervention, I think.
Yeah, even my wife said that exact same thing.
Yeah.
I was like, it's just window dressing.
Yeah, there's just a whole lot of nothing. And he didn't use the word amnesty last night, but he did mention this. So what is it called? The guest worker?
Guest worker program.
And this is clearly, whatever anyone thinks about it, it clearly is a sort of a graduated amnesty.
Yeah, I mean, it'll take a couple of years, but that's what's going to happen. They're going to forgive them for the illegal act of crossing the border undocumented.
Right. And, I mean, and Schwarzenegger's response is that this is just not the right way to go about any of this,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, in fact, he calls it embarrassing.
Yeah.
The federal government can't do its primary job of securing the border and protecting the citizens.
Yeah, and I mean, and
he's ticked off. I just got back from a news conference. He's just ticked off.
I mean, it doesn't, again, I mean, I don't think, everybody tries to spin this into the very sort of jingoistic or race-related issue, but I don't think anybody can make the case that people just flooding over to the border for wherever are good for the country. I don't think anybody with a straight face could say it's a fantastic thing for our country or our economy or whatever. And it does seem like by definition, the National Guard or the government, which is there to provide for the common defense, if the border is just cheesecloth, I mean, it doesn't. It just has larger sort of unpleasant implications for what else the government is not able to do in terms of borders. You know,
there's an unprecedented lack of security on our border, and it's just going to get worse if we don't turn it around right now. And to make it a drastic change, or to get it back where it's supposed to be, we're going to get lots of criticism because, you know, it's like all of a sudden when the kid's 13, you're going to start disciplining them.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense, and you're going to get a lot of rebellion. And that's what's happening now.
Just a whole lot of weirdness. And I mean, I'll be curious to kind of see how this plays out. If it's a thing that just sort of blows over, and if we forget about it, or if it's just going to be, because you got those Minutemen guys running around, and it just seems like all the elements are in place for some sort of really, really ugly.
It's pretty wacky.
Yeah.
I'm glad I live in a border state right now. It's really wacky.
Well, yeah, but you don't even have to prep for your job. You just wake up and grab the microphone and head off to document the ugliness.
The news comes to me, man.
That's what I'm saying. All right.
One of the things the governor was saying today, too, is that, you know, the president hasn't said if it's going to work or not. And if it doesn't work, is he going to increase that from 6,000 to 12,000 to 15,000 to 50,000? There's no end in sight. And he says, and we weren't consulted. The governor says, we're a border state. You need to consult us.
We need to be asking about this.
You need the National Guard.
Yeah, well, and here's my other question is that, and I asked this earlier, and it sounds like a rhetorical question, but it's really not. You got all these guys in the National Guard who got picked up, sent over to Afghanistan or Iraq or whatever, and they were supposed to be there for a 6-month rotation. They've been there for 2.5 or 3 years now because they got nobody. Where did they suddenly miraculously get 6,000 guys from?
Well, that's another question. Do we have guys hanging around?
I just didn't even know. And if we got 6,000, I don't mean to sound all jacked up about this, but if we got 6,000 National Guard guys that were just sitting around that you could pick up and send to California just to boost Bush's approval ratings, if we got 6,000 guys sitting around, why is some poor sap over in Iraq sitting there in a sand hole for five times longer than his rotation's supposed to be?
Yeah, some bookkeeper from Akron is still over there, you know, as a weekend warrior for 2.5 years.
Some guy over in Iraq is getting screwed, yet meanwhile we got the 6,000 guys here that we can just send down because Bush is down into the 20s. It's just the whole thing just makes me angry.
You know, with as much as the president tried to answer questions last night, he just created more questions. It didn't give us very many answers.
The guy, I was listening to the talk this morning, and it was like we were saying it was like each word was slowly being fed to him over a telegraph into his ear. It was.
Well, he's got that look on his eyes as if he's listening to something as he's talking. You're right.
Yeah, no, he really does. I mean, I'm not saying that he's wired, but I'm saying it wouldn't surprise me. It would explain a whole lot of things about the puzzled look on that guy's face all the time.
And for, you know, if you ever watch a TV newscast and you hear the producer talking to the anchor, and the anchor doesn't really know what he's supposed to say next. That's exactly the way the president looked last night. That's a great observation, Rick.
Well, you know, that's why they pay me the big dollars here at CBS Radio.
And that's perfect description of how he looked.
All right,
that's
thank you.
I love you so much.
Well, there you go. It's a mutual admiration society we have here, Jim.
Thank you.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Jim Roop in Los Angeles, my friend. Thank you.
All righty.
All right, Jim Roop, CNN radio correspondent. Sarah Dillon is throwing up a little bit in her mouth.
Dr. Phil helping 1,000-pound man get back on his feet.
Oh, wait, let me see. I got to see. Is there a picture with that?
Yeah.
Oh, holy God.
Wow.
Well, that's no good.
Why don't they put him at the border?
Yeah.
That'll save at least 1,000 National Guard troops.
Wait.
Make him spread his arms. They stretch to Texas from California.
That's fantastic. That's Z-worthy. All right.
All right, so he eats a dozen burritos, 2 dozen tacos, numerous hamburgers and heaps of dessert every day.
Heaps of dessert.
He eats 20,000 calories a day.
Damn, that guy's my hero. That guy is fantastic. All right, should I be taking these calls?
Yes.
Let's do these.
Sticky note.
Let's do these. You gave me what?
A sticky note.
Okay, let's do these
and
calls.
Because this is a talk show.
And let's do these calls. We'll talk to the people and be relatable, and then we'll go to the city desk with Tim Riley. Then we'll do today's top five, the top five Rolling Stones guitar introductions of all time. We'll just talk to Royal. Royal, hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
How you doing, Rick?
I wish I had I used to have that, the parquet sounder. I don't believe I have that now.
That's okay, I think I can live without
it. Wait, hold on, I've got CAC. Alright, there you go.
That'll work.
What do you got?
We haven't heard enough of that at all today.
I feel so low.
Oh, that was me. I choked on it. All right, what do you got, sir?
Sarah is absolutely right about that sub over at OMSI. It was in Hunt for Red October.
Sarah's absolutely right about that sub.
Oh, I'm sorry, Rick. You just didn't know. I'm sorry that you weren't aware.
Shh. I don't know. What do you mean? Okay. First of all, I didn't think the sub moved. I thought it was welded to the dock or whatever.
Well, no. There's no interior shots or anything. It was when it still moved. You know that scene towards the end where the submarine, like, bursts up out of the water and then crashes back down?
And it breaks the surface, right?
Yeah, that's that submarine.
Really? I had no idea. That's true.
Yes, it is.
All right. How is it that I didn't know this?
I don't know.
Okay, well, I guess there's really nowhere to go from there.
Maybe they kept it a secret and it was filmed in Portland.
Did you know?
No.
That's what I'm saying. It's like we keep talking about how no movie with any Portland connection that's not The Goonies is any good.
Maybe that's why they kept it a secret.
Maybe. They didn't want to ruin our rep. They didn't want to break the streak.
Drugstore Cowboy was
good. I was just going to say right now, yeah. Joni DeRoshi's screeching about Gus Van Sant. So, all right, no, that's fair enough. All right, Royal, thank you so much, my friend.
No, the real problem. Thank you. Love the show, guys.
Thank you, Abe. Thank you. All right. Let's see. Daryl, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Good afternoon, people. How's everything doing?
Good.
That was just a whole lot of gibberish. I didn't understand anything you said.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I've got a friend. We're going to go up there Saturday to go watch, up Saturday for the implosion to happen.
Right.
Because it happens on Sunday, and they'll be closing off roads, rivers, and everything.
So you're going to get in there early.
Yeah, I'm going to get there early. I have a friend that they are basically camp rangers out there. There's a camp out there, and Trojan is like, the plant is like real close to there.
Right.
And so there's like about 30 of us going out there, and basically we're going to have an implosion party.
It's fantastic.
So there'll be plenty of food, plenty of beer, plenty of smoke. Well, or I mean festive activities and, you know, all that good stuff. So
frisbee tossing?
Excuse me?
Nothing. Frisbee tossing. Do you think maybe it's not such a good... I mean, do you worry that you're announcing this and the man is going to come crack down now?
Nah.
Okay.
They have other things to do. They'll be out there, you know, blocking the roads and stuff to make sure no one comes to bug me.
Let me just tell you, having better things to do has never really stopped the police from enforcing any number of things. All right. Well, how many people are you going to have up there at your implosion party?
Well, I'll be up there with who's up there, but there's four of us going up, but there's going to be roughly 30 to 40 people all together up there.
It's all going to end in tears, my friend. I wish you, it's going to be beatings all around. So, and this is happening when Sunday morning at 7 is when the implosion actually happens?
Yeah, that's what actually happens, and we're going to get up there probably about 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon, like I said, before they close things off so you can't get close.
And so you'll be how far away from the actual site?
I'm not exactly, I haven't been up there, but, you know, the people I'm going with have, and I guess it's not real far. I guess you can, you know, we're seeing like the back of Trojan from what I understand. So
right,
we're like,
right.
We're very close.
Excellent. All right. Well, let me know how, if we don't manage to get up there, you got to call Monday and give us a report on it.
Hey, no problem. I'll be glad to.
Right. Thank you. Are you spreading the word about the show, Daryl?
Hey, I am always spreading the word, and I was so glad to hear you guys come back. I didn't know what to do. I just happened to flip over. I was going to listen to some comedy stuff, you know, because I was tired of music, and wham, you guys were back on the first day, and that made me happy, and I'm always spreading the word, my man.
Fantastic. You call us anytime, Daryl.
Will do. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. All right, there you go. That's Daryl.
The military's going to round them up and force them to forget what they see, just like in Roswell.
Seriously, they're going to be beaten with hoses. By the way, we want to give a shout-out to our many peeps at the Radio Cab. I've heard, like, the last 3 days, I've had, like, 9 people tell me, and it's a different guy. Like, I was taking a cab, and then the Radio Cab guy was going on and on about this show I had, and it was our show. So we want to give a shout-out to the folks at Radio Cab. So there you go. Thank you for listening. Let's go to the city desk with your personal savior, Timrod.
Oh.
Ah, yeah, Sherrod, you are.
That was my karma for making fun of you with
Yeah.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat team rather reporting. Say they used a getaway cab in the Beaverton bank robbery. No, this was a Broadway cab.
Oh.
Broadway cab. U.S. bank employees told police that 3 people arrived at the bank in a Broadway cab. A woman came in, gave a note to the teller demanding cash, and one man waited in the lobby, third man waited in the taxi.
Broadway cab is way more expensive. I mean, I guess if you're robbing a bank, it's all a wash.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
All 3 ran into the cab after they got the money. Police contacted the cab driver and found out the trio had been dropped off at the Oregon Zoo. Well, light rail operators agreed to stop trains, and police arrested the 3 suspects at the platform. Imagine that.
Why would you get off at the zoo? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, it costs a few bucks to get in there.
What's at the zoo?
Animals.
Oh. Why is it only playing the end of that?
Macaque.
All right, there you go. All right. I am 5. There's Tim Riley.
Yeah, religious nutcase watch.
Here's your religious nutcase watch for Tuesday. On the rig, everybody's going to chill.
This comes to us from London. The Da Vinci Code has undermined faith in the Roman Catholic Church and badly damaged its credibility like it wasn't there already. That survey from the British readers of Dan Brown's bestseller. People are now twice as likely to believe Jesus Christ fathered children after reading the Dan Brown blockbuster, and 4 times more likely to think the conservative Catholic group Opus Dei is a murderous sect. An alarming number of people take these claims very seriously indeed, said Austin McBay, a press secretary, Britain's top Catholic prelate, the cardinal there. Our poll shows that many, many people believe the Da Vinci Code is not just entertainment. More than 1,000 interviews were conducted last week, finding 60% believe Jesus had children by Mary Magdalene.
Where to start? I don't even
and possibly raised by the book, compared to just 30% of those who had not read the book.
All right.
The book is boring.
The book is terrible. B, you know, the thing about the Da Vinci Code and this guy, Dan Brown, the good news, bad news is that it's a phenomenally successful book, but you can see what I call the benchification happening right now. And so what's happening is that he's becoming this generation's Peter Benchley, who wrote Jaws, which was then such a phenomenal success that he was never, ever, ever, ever able to get right anything again that anybody cared about. And he eventually look, don't get me wrong, I love Peter Benchley, and I read many of his follow-up work, but they were all terrible. And they were all thinly veiled knockoffs of Jaws. I mean, he wrote Beast, which was about a giant squid terrorizing a beach community. He wrote White Shark about, I swear to God, a Nazi-engineered half-man, half-shark terrorizing a beach community. I mean, there was sort of a pattern that emerged very, very early on after his success with Jaws.
Oh, that's kind of sad. I think that tormented him.
Yeah, but
he's still alive?
No, he's dead.
Okay.
He's probably happy about that. Anyway, so blah, blah, blah. So you're not going to ever have to hear anything from Dan Brown again. B, what is my point? B, this is the sort of MySpace story of, you know, when it comes to, this is the MySpace of news stories or of film stories right now. Because every day, I mean, every day, you pick up the newspaper, the Da Vinci Code, terrified, everyone scarred and traumatized in the world of religion.
Pretty soon, alligators are going to be eating these books.
It's like you would figure the Christians at this point, like William, what is that, William Donahue from the Catholic League?
Oh, yeah.
He hasn't spoken out about this because he at least has figured out you just don't you think that people would know after like 70 years of picketing stuff in this country that they don't like. You just leave it alone. See, I'll probably see the film because it's a Ron Howard film and he's never made a bad movie. D, it's going to do $125 million the first weekend. E, wait, was that D? Here's how much I respect you as an audience. I'm going to give you just the rudiments for this joke and you can make this joke yourself. Blah, 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 Christian church. Blah, 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 Catholics. Blah, 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 talking about people believing a book filled with half-truths and nonsense. Blah, 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 taking it seriously. Blah, 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 believing a wild story written in a book to be fact. Blah, 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 Christians. You just make your own joke there. And finally, Q, it is probably, it has nothing to do with the Da Vinci Code, but anybody who believes, look, here's the thing. It probably is likely that Jesus was married and had sexual intercourse. It's probably true. He's a 33-year-old man and living in the, you know, what in a time when you died at 40 from one thing or another. So the likelihood that Jesus was never married and never had a family is pretty slim. So, and that has nothing to do with Da Vinci Code. That's just, and plus, wasn't Mary Magdalene the one who prepared his body
yes.
for burial? Which I believe, and I'm not a scholar or a learned man, but I do believe that under Jewish law, that was a thing that a wife would have had to have done anyway. So I'm pretty sure the, what do you call it, the Bible itself, it gives you indications that Jesus was, in fact, married to Mary Magdalene. Nobody even knows. Everybody talks about the Bible. No one knows what the hell the Bible says anyway.
He just didn't wear his ring.
No, it's just, honey, I'm going out. I'll leave it at home. Going out for his night on the town with the boys. So, all right. Anyway, there you go. There's your religious update one. Rick, this subject line says, why are you so ignorant? This is a great email. Why are you so ignorant? And then, it's not even about anything. Subject line, why are you so ignorant? Email. It's because while you're listening to AC/DC, we're watching the Discovery Channel. Signed, Tom. About nothing in particular. There's not even addressed in any particular stripe of my ignorance. It's just an overarching sort of dumbness, I guess. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, listen to this. An East High School student in Denver who was run over by a stretch limousine leaving the prom Saturday night is in critical condition. 17-year-old Molly Bloom, a standout in the school's swim team, sustained injuries to her leg and pelvis when she was dragged under the rear tires of the vehicle. She was leaving the prom at 11 o'clock and was getting into the Hummer H1 limousine. What a gas guzzler. When the driver started to move before she was fully inside, she was rushed to the Denver Medical Center. The family says we've had numerous offers from people wishing to help. We hope you can all donate blood at this time.
Yeah, I hope you choose a less stupid car next time. You know, here's the thing. Can I see that, sir, for a second?
Certainly.
Sorry that anybody has to endure pain and suffering. That being said, listen to this. This is the phrase. School administrators said that her injuries were too gruesome to describe. Now, listen here. She's getting into, what is it? What the hell is this? Hummer H1 limousine. You've seen these.
Those things are ridiculous.
You've been in Vegas. You've seen these.
What service people get married in.
Seriously, when I was a kid, when I was a boy, there was no renting a Hummer limousine. And I'm going to skip the blah, 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 prom Hummer limousine.
When you were a boy, Rick?
There's no call for mocking music beds.
That's right. Tell us a little bit more about when you were a boy. How was the world better?
They had K cars back then.
When I was growing up.
Uh-huh. Did you drive a pedal car?
Shut up! Shut your mouth! In the 80s, when I was a teenager.
People read the good book.
Kids today. Off my lawn. All right, fine. There you go. There's I'll be done. All right. Let's take a break here. Oh, take a break. We'll come back. Dennis Pritzenbacher, top five. We'll recap the Inquirer as well. People respected their elders. Politicians were honest. I'll go anywhere. All right.